all the things that you need us like to give us.
Well, that's really good.
I mean, it's pretty good. Nothing like this. It's too great.
What did the Italian guy call it?
Okay, let's start. First announcement is the CS website was down last night, so many of you may not have been able to take the quiz. So we have just dropped it. It's fine if you haven't been able to take it. But I guess it's not a good sign if the CS server is down. maybe you guys should complain. Okay, so today we will talk about cache performance. So we talked about how we can build a cache. There were many choices and there were trade-offs. But as a programmer, how should we care about the cache? And the reason is the way we write programs and how we exploit the locality that can significantly affect the performance we will get from our applications. So this was one example that we actually went through last week. Here we had an array, integer array of 1024 elements. Essentially, there is 4 kilobytes of data in the array. And we were just going through each element and calculating the even, the sum of the even elements and the sum of the odd elements. But within the array, we were accessing the array in sequence. And we had assumed that we have a direct map cache, which has 2 kilobyte cache size. And the cache blocks that we can store in our cache is 16 bytes. And we assume that the array, that's the only thing we are keeping in the cache, rest of the things maybe in the register. And we were trying to see that how that affects the cache miss rate. And the important thing here was the cache block size is 16 byte. So that means that essentially it holds 4 array element, because each array element is an integer which takes 4 bytes. So when we were iterating through the array, in the first access, when we start with array at the element 0, it would be a miss. And we will fetch that cache block. But you can see that now, because it holds 4 integers, the next 3 accesses will actually hit the cache. And then we will go on and essentially we will fill up our cache. So once we get to 2 kilobytes of data, now we have went through half of our array elements, and each time we are accessing our 4th element, we will have a miss, and then we fetch the whole cache block, which gives us 3 hits after that. After we have filled up the cache, then after 2 kilobytes of data we have accessed, then we will wrap around, and now we will have misses in the cache because those elements are still not in the cache and there is something else we have stored in that space, because this is a direct map cache. And eventually the same thing will happen every time we are accessing a new element in the array. Every 4th element we will have a miss and we have to fetch the cache. So the total number of misses we will have is would be equal to the size of the data array divided by the size of the cache block. So or another way to think about is we have 1024 elements, and at every 4th element we are having a miss. So it would be 1024 divided by 4. So this is the example we actually went through last week. And now we have almost the same code. So we still have an array, the same size, 4 kilobytes. And we are still calculating the even sum and the odd sum. But we have just split it in a different way. So instead of calculating the partial sums within one array, we go through 0 to 1024, calculate the even sums. Then we iterate through the whole array again and calculate the odd sums. And the assumptions are still the same, 2 kilobytes of direct map cache, 16 bytes of cache block. And let's just assume that this is the array, the only thing that we will keep in our cache. And now I would like you to think about how the miss rate would change. So at the end result, what we are doing with the application, it is still the same. We are calculating some sums, but we are accessing things in a different order. You can talk to other students and think about it. I guess I will give you maybe 3-4 minutes to think about it. Anyone wants to volunteer? I guess there is a small mistake here. It should be from 0 to 1024. So let's go through the first loop where we are trying to access element 0, 2, 4, and etc. And for the first loop here, every time we are accessing something that we haven't accessed it before. So for element 0, when we miss, we will bring the cache block into our cache. And then we are accessing, instead of accessing the other 3 elements in sequence, now we access only one other element, which is our even element. But it is still the same that every fourth element we are having a miss. So this, even though we are there are less reuse, the elements that we are accessing, they're accounting the same number of misses. So every fourth element that we are accessing, that's not in the cache and we have to bring them. So the difference is, previously we had some spatial locality because once we have brought the cache block in the processor, we are also accessing the odd elements. But now we are not doing that, so number of hits is slightly lower here, but the number of misses is still the same. Now we start going through the next loop. So next loop, it starts from almost the block zero again. So it's the block zero, but it's the first element instead of the zeroth element. And we, in the first loop, we went through the whole 4 kilobytes of data, which means that essentially we had to evict everything we had brought in. And when we start the second loop, whatever we are accessing again, it's just not in the cache because 4 kilobytes is just, the cache is just too small to hold all the elements. So for the second loop, then we encounter the same number of misses again. So each time we bring in one block and we use only one of the bytes, one of the integer in that block, and the rest of them we don't reuse. Okay, I guess we use one of them, the odd ones. And then we have to we will encounter a miss for the integer, which is located in our next cache block. So eventually, just by splitting the loop, we have doubled the number of misses. So we encounter misses here. Every fourth element encounters a miss. Also here, every fourth element, I guess, every fourth element in the array. But here, every fourth element in the array is also a miss. So you can think about that, what would happen if we can have a set associative cache? Would that be better? With set associative cache, when we start after we have accessed 4 kilobytes, 2 kilobytes of data sequentially, we wrap around and we start to access data from the next two kilobytes. And for direct map cache, usually there is no extra space to put that cache block. What would happen if we have increased the associativity and have some extra space in our sets to put that block? So now there is a catch that when we increase the set associativity, we are keeping the cache size the same, so that will mean that we have smaller number of sets. But before we go to that, let's take a look at the direct map example again, that will help you to understand what happens when we have set associative cache. So for the direct mapped cache, as I said, like for set zero, we keep the block which starts at address zero, and because it's a direct map cache, eventually we will wrap around, and the addresses that start from 2 kilobyte, 4 kilobyte, they will be mapped in the same set. So that's why set zero would have contain addresses 0 to 15, and then plus 2 kilobyte, plus 4 kilobyte, etc. So if we think about in terms of our array elements, array element 0 to 3 maps to set 0, the next 4 elements map to set 1, and so on. And essentially, when we reach the last set, we wrap around and array 512 to 515 maps to the same set 0. So this is where, in a direct map cache, now when we are accessing the array element 512, we encounter a miss because there is already something in our cache. We have to evict it and we put it there. But let's assume that now we have increased the associativity, but because we are keeping the cache size same, now we have a less number of sets. So how would the cache blocks map into sets? So here you can see that we start with block 0, which maps to our set 0, which is array element 0 to 3. So it's the same thing. But now, because we have less number of sets, when we get to array element 256, it actually maps to the same set. So now, again, when we wrap around and we access the array element 512, that also gets mapped to set 0. So given all this information, I guess let's try to think about if we have two-way set associativity, would that reduce the number of misses or not? So these are the blocks in our array that would be mapped to the same set. So when I'm accessing array element 0, array element 256, array element 512, each of them are supposed to be mapped in this set 0. So do you, okay, how many people think that the number of misses will increase? Decrease? Same? Okay. Yeah, I guess I can see some hands here. And what's the explanation? The explanation is when I access array element 256, I still have one extra way to put that cache block. But then when I'm accessing array element 512, it's a miss, and also we don't have any more space to put it in. So we have to evict one of the blocks here, and considering if it's an LRU replacement, we will evict this first block that we had accessed because this is the least recently used one. So now we actually have these two blocks, this block at 0 plus 1 kb and 0 plus 2 kb in our set 0. And the next loop that we had for our other partial sum, that will try to access this block. This block at 0 when it starts going through the loop. And because we kept these two blocks and not the one that will be reused now, essentially that gives us the same amount of misses. Any more question here? Yes.
So sorry, was it the same amount?
Yes. Because even though we have provided associativity, we just didn't keep the block that we will reuse afterwards. So at the time we went back to this block 0, we have replaced it with this block at array element 512. So I guess you can say that maybe we will increase the associativity higher and try to see what happens. You can try to do that exercise at home. Tell me what happens. So now we have another exercise. And here we have a structure which contains two integer values, A and B. And then it has some, it has an array where we have 126 integers. And we take this structure and allocate 8 elements to it so that the total amount of data allocated is 4 kilobytes. But here, we access it slightly differently. In the prior examples, we were sequentially going through the array and scanning all the elements. But here we are not accessing all the elements. We are accessing particularly this item, the value of A and value of B. So in the first iteration, we go through all the elements in the structure, but just take this value A and sum it up. So instead of accessing this whole data structure, 4 kilobytes of data, we actually access just one integer in an iteration of 8, so 8 times. And same thing for the next loop. So now, I guess, what are the assumptions? The assumptions are, we will assume this int A value and B value, they map into the same cache block. If we assume that it starts from address 0. And then we have 126 integers. So essentially, the total size of this structure is 512 kilobytes, 128 into 4. And instead of going through the whole elements, we are particularly accessing some special blocks there. And let's assume that the cache is still direct mapped with 16 bytes of cache blocks. So now we actually shouldn't have any capacity miss because essentially we accessed 8 integers here and 8 integers in our in the next loop. So essentially we accessed 16 integers. But this can still cause a miss. I guess, why do you think this can still cause a miss? Or what are the scenarios where this 8 plus 8, 16 accesses can still cause a miss? Any answer? So they can cause a miss if they are all mapped to some same sets. When then there would be some conflict and we may not be able to access them. So given all this information, I guess let's take 2 minutes to think about what will happen when we have accessed these 8 integers in one block, and most probably the B values are supposed to be in the same cache block, and the question is when they would cause a conflict miss. I will give you 3 minutes. Any volunteer? No? the key thing we need to think about is what are the scenarios where they can essentially map into the same cache block. And if you look at the structure, the size of the structure is 512 kilobyte. So element 0 of the structure would take 512 kilobyte. Then we can, if we access element 0, then 1 and 2 and 3. So after that, we have actually accessed, so the total size of the structure then becomes 2 kilobyte. And the fifth element in that case, we don't have any space in the cache again, right? So now we actually wrap around and we start from set 0 again. So that means that if we had accessed all the elements in our structure, we would have gone through 2 kilobytes of data when we accessed item 0 to 3. From item 4 to 7, that's another 2 kilobytes of data. But essentially, we are not accessing the whole thing, right? So we just want to know that for element 0, item 0, and dot a underscore value, that is located at address 0. And then we want to know what is the element that would be mapped in the same set. So essentially, that would be the one where we wrap around 2 kilobytes. So that would be element 4. So 0 to 3, that maps into the whole cache. And at element 5, we are wrapping around. So element item 0 and item 4, they will map to the same sets. So essentially, that will mean that after we access 4 elements, like 4a underscore values, we evict these 4 elements and we actually store the next element 4 to 7. That means that all of the accesses we have so far are misses. But we have something in the cache, which is items 4 to 7 and the blocks that map to there. Now when we go through the next loop, if we actually had elements item 0 to 3, it would have been a cache hit because we are assuming that A underscore value and B underscore value, they're supposed to be in the same block. But unfortunately, we have just evicted 0 to 3. So again, when we start accessing item 0 to 3, they're all missed. We put it in the cache. Then 4 to 7 also is a miss, and we will evict the previous things and put this box. So another way we can think about it is, instead of a structure, it could be just it's the same access pattern, I will say, that the array has 1024 elements. So essentially, it's a 4 kilobyte of data. And we are just accessing every 128th element. So the way we are accessing it, it's just mapping into the same set. So they just evict whatever we brought in. And essentially, we don't get any locality. So here, I guess one more question could be, given the same example that we have seen, would it help if we have increased the associativity? So here, I guess I will not get into the details, but remember what was the access pattern. Like for the first 4 elements, we brought something in our cache, and then there were 4 more accesses which are getting mapped into the same cache sets. So if we increase the associativity, eventually we will have more space to put the blocks. But then we also have to think about, if we have more associativity, we reduce the number of cache sets. So what are the things that eventually map to the same set, and how many elements we access before we have to replace something? So this will be your home assignment. Think about it. What happens if we have more associativity? And I guess here we only say four, but maybe think about what happens if we have more. I guess before I move on, any question here? Yes.
So what you're saying is like each time you load in that entire item, for like the items at one, it would load in like all the information for that item, but wouldn't load in the next 30. Like those would each be cold misses like the first time. Is that what you're saying?
So that was true for our direct map cache. I guess let's just take the first, like this example, that whenever we are accessing one element, we bring the whole cache block and we put it in some set, right? And then we may access some other block or other array element, and it may be mapped into the same cache set. So here, like array element 0, 256, 512, they're all getting mapped into the same set. And if it's a direct map cache, eventually with every access, we have to replace the previous one because we just don't have any extra space to put there. But once we have more associativity, we may be able to put, like instead of when I'm accessing this array element 256, I don't have to replace this first block that I have fetched because I have two set associativity right now. So, but the third one, the third access to array element 512, that still maps to the same cache set. And now we have to make a decision in a set associative cache that which one we want to evict. If we assume that we will evict the least recently used one, which is the most widely used, it just says that evict this first block, which is the least recently used one.
I think my question is more like for struggle in particular.
Okay,
like in this example, like when you access that struct, like the entire, like every part of that struct is loaded into the
No. So it depends on what we are accessing. So if I had written written the code where I access not only value A, also these boring values, like the name is boring because we are not accessing them, then we had like whatever we touch, that is what we bring in the cache. Because we are accessing only this first integer, we will only bring that block which contains that integer into the cache. And here our cache blocks are 16 bytes, so essentially it would be this A value, B value, and maybe two integers from here. Any more questions? Okay. So we will start cache blocking today. And the initial assumptions here is, let's assume we have an array, which is n into n matrix. So it's a two-dimensional array. And instead of writing it in a way where we have allocated two-dimensional data in our memory, we will just assume that we have allocated this huge flat array. And depending on which one, which column or row we want to access, we will actually have to multiply our ith index by the size of our array. So this is, we are doing this so that we know how memory is allocated in our memory. It's like a flat, contiguous, large chunk of data, and that will help us to reason about how the cache misses occur. So in the rest of the class, we will just use this notation, but essentially it's the same as having a two-dimensional array with row index I and column index j. Any question here? Okay. So this is a very simple code where we are taking, we have three indexes. So we are going through three nested loops, I, J, and K, each from 0 to N. And then essentially within the inner loop, what we are doing is we are taking one row in our matrix A and one column, multiplying them and putting the summation of the multiplication in one element of our output matrix. So B is also a two-dimensional matrix, but let's assume it has a consecutive memory allocated. And I guess, for this one, the access pattern is for each element in B, so for each B at I and J, we will iterate to K, where K is going through the row-wise and column-wise, taking a whole row and whole column of A, multiplying them, adding the multiplication results, and putting them at Bij. So we could write the same nested loop, but we could change the ordering to get the same result. So here, we just moved the inner loop K and made it the outer loop. And now after that, we iterate through I and J. So basically here, the access pattern is we will actually go through each element of B spatially. So Bij, then Bij plus one. So we will go through each element of B. And also at the same time, we will just take one element of A. So here you can see that there is no J here. So the Aik, it remains the same, but we also go through this Kj, multiply them, and put them at Bij. So here we are going through each row of Bij, and we are going through each row of Akj, but taking just one element of ik, multiplying them and putting them at each bij. So at the end result is still the same, but how we are traversing the matrix is different. And we can ask that, so here for the first loop, you can see that the bij, it has, so we are reusing it, because whatever we are multiplying, we eventually putting it there. So every within our inner loop, we are reusing it. It has some temporal locality. And for the second loop, this Aik, this is the one which we are reusing within the inner loop. So here, this one has temporal locality. So if we run both of the code and we measure what is happening, we see that there actually have similar number of instructions. So here, the first graph, we are going through, we are changing the size of n, the elements we have in our matrix. And we see that the number of instructions is still the same. But the second graph shows that the performance is actually pretty different. So here again, at x-axis, we are increasing the size of matrix. And in the y-axis, we are showing how many cycles it takes to run these two variations of the same code. And you can essentially see that for some reason, if we use the second version where the k is at the outer loop, that actually performs much better than putting K inside. And also there are some spikes which are related to how we use the caches, so we will talk about that later. And the question is, given that these two variations, like how we can know why one is better than other, or how we can eventually systematically write a code where we can write the one which has better performance. So not only that it takes less time, we can also see that how many cycles it takes per instruction. So with the one where k is outer, it actually takes less number of cycles per iteration, because it's just not waiting for memory that much as this one. And you can actually see the spikes much clearer here. And this is the cycles for each multiply or add operation, and you can see that it has a very similar trend. So essentially, if we want to reason about why this is happening, we actually have to look at the spatial locality and temporal locality, and you can see that, like, from the code, we can say that, okay, Bij has more temporal locality here, Aik has more temporal locality here, but it's hard to argue that why one is better than other unless we actually run the program. So eventually it turns out that having temporal locality for Aik is much better for performance than having these temporal locality for Bij. But let's see what is happening here. So for the Kij order, Aik had temporal locality, but you can see that because for our output and Akj, we are going to each row, that gave us some spatial locality. And if we just compare with the version one, Bij had temporal locality, and Aik had spatial locality. So somehow this spatial locality and the temporal locality for Aik is just more important than having this temporal locality at Bij. And that could be because of many different reasons. Maybe writes are less important. Maybe the cache has doing something which we haven't taken into account. So we want to actually reason about it without running the programs. I guess I already talked about it. So first we want to gain more insight about what's going on with these two codes to make any reasoning about it. So I said that there are all these spikes, which are definitely not because some random things. These are basically because of the way we are accessing the cache. But before we go to the spike, you can see that here, before we move to a larger number of elements, so before the matrix becomes larger, at some point of time, it actually doesn't have any cache misses at all. And this is the one where we are showing how many read misses we have if we run the code. And the reason is, if our matrix is smaller than L1, everything we are accessing, it just fits in the cache. So there is essentially a very little misses there. But once we go through, we make our matrix larger, and it's not fitting in L1 cache, then we start to see some misses. But also there are all these cases where we see a large deviation. So can anyone say that what is the reason why we are seeing these outliers? I guess one outlier here, let's not add it. So definitely it's related to how we access the cache.
Yes, just the confluence of the cache.
Yes, and also I guess let's just take a deeper look. Yeah, so there are cases where we have number of elements in an array which actually is similar to a sum power of 2. And as I showed you earlier, if it's a power of 2, essentially there would be cases where we wrap around the whole cache and things gets mapped into the same thing, same set, so that would introduce a lot of conflict cases. But there are also cases where, let's see, where n is 93, n is 114, where we see these spikes, and it's not as prominent as when we have n power of 2, but what we find that these numbers are actually very close to power of 2. So essentially what is happening is when we try to see what are the sets they're getting mapped to, they may be getting mapped to the same set. So let's just take this n equal to 114. So if we try to look at the addresses, we see that they may, so far, okay, let's element kj, and if it's multiplied by 144, and we try to increase the ith and jth indexes, so eventually we will have these addresses. And at k plus 9, we come to this address where we can see that some of the bits, like here, all the bits are 0, here all the bits are also 0. So there is a way where we can have things which are not power of 2, but the way we have laid out our cache, they are still mapping to the same set. So in this example, the first 6 bits, they are for offset, and the next 6 bits are for our index. And essentially here you can see that this block and the first block, they map to the same set, and essentially introduces some conflict misses. So you have to be careful about not just regular power of 2, we essentially have to look at what's the size of the elements and how they map to the same set. So essentially, whenever there is a conflict miss, it will introduce performance degradation. I talked about it. Okay. So now we know that depending on the order, loop order, we can have different performance, different number of misses, but how do we know which one is the best or which one we should use? Besides, okay, the obvious way could be that we just take different ordering, we run it, and we see which one is the best. But the systematic approach is we need to reason what happens when there is a cache miss. How many times that do we use that value, and how many computation we do once that value is in the cache. So here, this is the second version where k is at the outer loop, and the goal to get best performance is we want to make most out of each our cache miss. So whenever we have brought something in our cache, we want to make sure that they are accessed multiple times. And let's assume that our cache is, our n is larger than the cache. So before we were here, we were mostly concerned about when there is a conflict miss. But if the matrix is really large and it doesn't fit in the cache, then most of the things, the misses that we will see are capacity miss. And let's assume that our matrices are just too huge to fit them in our cache. So for this one, when we access Bij, we actually bring that block, but we don't reuse it anymore. So there is just one multiplication that goes to two elements of A, and we just put it here in Bij. For AIK, so this one where we were keeping this element in cache and we were multiplying with each element in our row with a KJ. So here, when we miss, we actually bring the AIK in our cache, and then essentially we have done n computation on that value. So we have reused it n times. And for the last element, what we do is we take AKJ, we multiply with AIK, we put it in Bij, and that's it. Like, we don't use it anymore. We just move on to AKJ plus one after that. And so if we look at this code, what we are seeing that essentially this is the only value, AIK, that we keep reusing in the cache. So in that sense, it might not be a very good strategy because we have our whole cache and neither we are exploiting Bij or AKJ, we are just keeping this one element AIK for reuse. So it might not be a very, it was better than the other order, but there might be some more way to make it better. So the core of caching is the caches are usually not that large to keep every element in the cache. So our matrices usually are much larger than our cache size. So there is no way we can fit the whole matrix in our cache. So what we have to do is we have to we have to store the values where we actually reuse them for a while before we evict them. So that's the goal whenever we are trying to maximize the performance. But in cache, there is no way to say that, like, keep value X or keep value Y in our cache. So there is no way to get that information to cache. So what we have to do is we just have to write our code in a way that when we accessing something, we access them multiple times and exploit the locality before they get evicted. So that's what we were trying to do. So we would like to access only the values that we already loaded. So first we access those, we want to keep them in the cache for a while, reuse them, and make sure that the operations we do is higher. So that's what we would like to do. So one way we want to do it is, I guess what we saw here is this AIK is the only thing we are keeping in the cache and reusing it. It has temporal locality. So one way to increase that reuse is we could just say that instead of keeping just one IK, we would keep IK plus one and reuse it for other multiplication. And essentially, this is what we are doing here. So what we did is we have split it our outer K loop. So here now K goes from 0 to N, but we increment it by 2. And the inner K loop, it's just for each KK, it just iterates 2 times. So it does the exact same thing. And then what we do is we move this second K loop inside our ijth loop. So now we have this extra iteration, which says that do the multiplication not only on AIK, but also on the next element. So essentially now we have increased our locality by 2 times, because before it was only AIK, which was in the cache, we were reusing it, and there was no other reusing our cache. But now we are saying that keep the next element in the cache, do all the multiplication and reuse it and before we get evicted. So our cache capacity is the same, right? So now we have given up something. We have given up that how many things, AIKs, we could have filled up with the cache. That has reduced by 2 times. But we actually have increased the locality. So given a point when we have brought things in the cache, now we reuse them multiple times before we get rid of them. So here, I guess, I'm talking about the same thing. So now we have more temporal locality here, but to do that, we may have to get rid, we may not have some space for BIJ, or we have to get rid of something. But essentially, this gives us more temporal locality. And so if this inner loop is hard to understand, instead of having this loop, we could have just written another line of code and do the same thing. And this is for to understand it better. So before, we were just having I, k, k, and doing all the multiplication. Like for each element of I, k, we will take, we will multiply with the whole row, put it in bij. But we are doing the same thing now, but with the next element in ai, k, k. So it's ai, k, k plus 1. So essentially, we are doing all the calculations that we were doing and reusing this AIK plus reusing this AIK plus 1. Any question here? So this is a simple form of blocking, which we call that instead of having just one element and reusing it, we have just said that our granularity of keeping things in the cache is slightly higher. And you can ask that why I chose 2, we could have make it bigger, and we can, right? So essentially, we can increase how many AIKs I want to keep in the cache and increase the temporal locality as much as I can. That's one direction, but you can, I guess, let's go here. Before I go to how we can extend that. So this essentially reduces our read misses. If we run the program and look at the counters, you can say that we can see that by having this blocked version of the code, we actually have we have reduced the number of misses almost by half. So the unblocked code used to have more misses. And by blocking and keeping things in the cache and reusing it, we are decreasing the miss rate. So here I was saying that so we blocked in one direction. Like we said, we will keep AIK and the next element AIK plus 1. But we could actually split the loops for I and J, and we can keep a block of AIKs in our cache and do all the computation in that block. So essentially, that's what we are trying to do here. If instead of using loops, if I just wrote the indexes of A and B, this is how it will look like. So essentially, what we are doing is we are using AIK and doing all the multiplication on it and putting it in our output. Then we are also taking the next element, AIK plus 1. Then we are going through column-wise and taking the element which is exactly under AIK, and then the one at the corner. So essentially we have four blocks, four elements in a block, and we are keeping it, we are pinning it in our cache, doing all the multiplications and additions that we need to do before we move on to something else. And this is a simple form of blocking. And here we just use two, but essentially there is nothing fundamental about two. We could have said that instead of two, I want to have a block where I keep 4 × 4 elements and pin it in our cache and do all the computation. Any question here? So essentially by doing this, now we are doing more calculation per load. And you can see that for AIK, now we have temporal locality for the whole block, but also we actually have some spatial locality. We have also increased spatial locality because we are going through row-wise too. Blocking gave us more temporal locality, and also it gave us spatial locality. But I guess there is a catch. Like, how big can I make my block, right? So essentially the catch is the block needs to fit in our cache in a way that we reuse it at most of the times that we can reuse before we evict it, but I guess we will get to it later. So essentially, this is how it looks like if we have written a very generalized blocking code. So it's the same computation, but now we are blocking it in all directions. And this is how it will look like. So we have three outer loops. But within those three outer loops, we are actually using three inner loops for each going through the blocks. And once we compute over one block, only then we move to the next block. So how does the spatial and temporal locality look like if we have essentially made it completely general? So the indexes for the block here is capital I, J, K, which is basically we're like right now, let's make it parameterized. So we haven't put any number there. So based on how we use our blocks, there would be, we actually have increased the spatial locality for Bij because the inner loop here, which goes over K, that gives us more hits once we have brought it in the cache. Before, it was just giving us one hit every time we bring it, one access every time we bring it. And similarly, now we have more reuse over AIK, AIJ. But the question again is, what should be the size of the block that we can make sure that it still doesn't evict some things before we reuse it? And that is the dimension that we need to figure out so that things don't get evicted from the cache. I guess let's, okay. So before I get into figures. So this is like a pseudo code for our blocking, right? And it actually becomes quite complex when we start blocking, writing the blocking version of the code. So what usually people do is they have these wrapper functions where it is all parameterized that given some dimensions of blocking, start I and start end I, We will do the blocking within this function, and from the outer loop, we will just call this function. So here, the partial square, it just says that what should be the dimension of the block, and where it starts and where it ends. I think that's a more cleaner way to write the code, because once you actually write the code for this blocking, it is very hard to write it correctly and also debug. But I guess let's see pictorially that what's happening with blocking. So this is our output, this is our input matrix, and essentially for the order Kij, what we were doing is we were taking this one element Aik, that is the one we will continuously use. And how we will use it? We will multiply it with each element in this row, and we will put it, each element in our output matrix. So if I take Aik, multiply by this red element, I will put it here. That is where our output would go. So now think about what happens if we try to reuse all these elements. So this is where this element is within some cache block, and it's not that, like, it's just one block. We are pinning it in our cache, we are reusing it. So definitely this one should give us a lot of reuse, and we saw that this is giving us a lot of reuse. Then this row, we are just taking Aik and multiply it with each element. So if we want to reuse this row has to be in the cache for a while before we actually iterate through the I and get to this row again. So it's actually hard to keep that row again before we reuse it. And similar here. Bij is reused in the next outer loop, but because there are a lot of things we have used in between, it's unlikely that we will actually keep it there when we will still use it. So that's why what we did is we want to do this blocking where we keep part of these rows in cache and reuse it before we move to our next block. So now, instead of just one element, Aik, which we always keep in our cache, we have a block of Aiks. And also for these two rows, we want to keep some portion of the rows in our cache, reuse it, and before we move to the next block. So essentially it gives us more temporal locality, because now we have n calculation for each Aik, which what we had before was we had n calculation, but just one Aik. But now we have blocks, a whole block of Aiks, where we are doing n calculation per element. And then we have more calculation for Bij and Akj, because this block operates on some blocks of rows and columns to multiply and then put it in our output. Any question here? Okay. And for our blocks, we also have better spatial locality, because when we are accessing Aik, we also brought in the next blocks together. So with the same cache fetch, we are increasing the spatial locality. So blocking helped not only to have more temporal locality, it also helped with some spatial locality. So this is how it would look like once we have done with the blocking. So we try to keep blocks of data. So this was our I in 2K blocks. And then there were two blocks of data where we do all the multiplication by reusing this one before we move to the next one. Any question here? So this is the example that where we, the first code that we had, that was essentially taking a row and column, multiplying it, and putting it in one element. You will find that there are many different other type of codes where we can do similar types of blocking and improve the performance by significant. So matrix multiplication, matrix transformation, anything where we have to work on very large matrices, blocking would significantly improve performance. Any more questions? Okay, this is what I had for today. We will talk about optimizing even these codes to get better performance in the next class.